All right, y'all. Good morning once again. Good to see everybody. Young folks, children, youths. May go down the hallway with Mr. Dean. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning as we continue to look at factors of church growth, specifically Oak Grove Christian Church, and how some things that we find in the scripture can apply or can be applied should we desire to surrender to the Lord. We're going to talk about today the word communication. Speaking of communication, is there an echo in the room or is it just me? A little bit less gain, please, just to make sure everybody can hear. How many of you enjoy the blessing of prayer? I was hoping everybody raised their hand. I mean, the fact that we get to approach God, our Lord, the Father, the one who created us, we get to approach the King of the universe because of the blood of Christ. We get to lift up our needs and our concerns in our own homes, in our own lives to Him, knowing that He hears our words, He hears our hearts, He sees our struggles, He even sees our joy. I'm hoping that we don't just pray when things are bad. We also lift up our prayers when things are great and honor Him and worship Him and praise His name and glorify Him for His lavish blessings in our life. How would it be if when you cried out to the Lord, it was like an answering machine? Can you imagine? Like you have to wait for somebody to get on the line when you want to talk to our God. Here's what it might sound like. I did not write this. I'm borrowing it off of someone else. Imagine if God operated with an answering service. It might sound like this. Thank you for calling your heavenly Father's house. Your call may be monitored for quality assurance. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for prayer requests. Press 2 for prayers of thanksgiving. Press 3 for prayers containing complaints. Press 4 for all other prayers. I'm sorry, all of our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayers are important to us and will be answered in the order received, so please stay on the line. If you would like to leave a voicemail message for God, the Father, press 1 now. If you would like to leave a voicemail for your Savior, Jesus Christ, press 2 now. If you would like to leave a voicemail for the Holy Spirit, press 3 now. If you would like to hear the King David singers sing a psalm while you are holding, please press 4 right now. To find out if a loved one has been assigned to heaven, please enter his or her social security number without dashes. Then press the pound key. If you get a negative response, try using area code 666. For reservations, please dial 5646-316. That's John 3:16. For nagging questions about dinosaurs, the real age of the earth, where Noah's Ark is, or any other questions, please wait until you arrive. Our computers indicate that you have already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow. This office is closed on weekends, state and federal holiday. Please pray again between 9:30 and 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Except holidays. If you need emergency assistance with this, when this office is closed, contact your local pastor. Can you imagine approaching God and that's what you get every time? How many people would stop praying altogether? Just like, you know what? I'm not calling anymore. I mean, it's silly. It sounds silly to me. A little bit funny. But that's not how it is, y'all. That's not how it is at all, is it? Because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, because his shed blood, he chose to give his life, he chose to put himself on the cross because of my sins and yours, we now can approach the Lord with confidence. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't talk to God about anything and everything. Y'all understand that? This is all review so far for y'all. I know most of y'all here, and if you're part of our church, I know that we have a lot of things on our prayer list, a lot of people on our prayer list, a lot of concerns, a lot of missionaries, a lot of situations around the world that we pray about on a regular basis. And we should continue to pray, continue to talk to God, continue to ask his intervention and his response to our concerns and our needs. I think that's what God would have us do. But today, we're going to talk about prayer in a way that helps us understand what we've been studying about church growth. How do we get the church to grow spiritually and in number? How do we get people to be saved? How do we help people know Jesus? How do we do what Jesus commanded us to do? Love people, love God, go and make disciples. That's what it's all about. So just know that when I'm talking about Jesus and his teaching this morning in Matthew chapter 7, it doesn't only apply to what we're talking about today, but it definitely applies to what we're going to talk about today when it comes to the mission of our church, when it comes to going into the world in this area and making disciples and doing the work of the body of Christ as is commanded and as is desired, right? We want to do this. We want to see people get saved. We want people to know Jesus. So what do y'all think the first thing we need to do? Church answer, y'all. Pray. Talk to God. You know, we got to talk to God. He's right there. He's available. And he can hear everyone's prayer at the same time. Isn't that amazing? And he cares about them all. But if you look at chapter 6, we're not going to go too much into that. But if you look at chapter 6, when the disciples said to Jesus, hey, we want to talk to the Father the way you do. Can you tell us how to do it? And then he lays out what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And it starts off with recognizing God and his holiness. And then the very next thing it says is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then if you go down that prayer model, you can see how Jesus taught us to prioritize our prayer life, right? And I wonder how many times we take our prayer sheet here at the church, which has all of our people that we love and care for who are sick or hurting. Praise the Lord, Mr. Frank's here this morning, by the way, since we're talking about the prayer list. We need to understand what the Lord has set in place for us. Yeah, we're going to pray. I appreciate when y'all pray for me when I'm sick or hurting. Y'all have done that many, many times for me. And you appreciate when the rest of the church is praying for you. I know it. But it can't be all we talk to God about. In fact, the way Jesus showed us in what we call the Lord's Prayer, it can't even be the first thing. The first thing is, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first thing. After we recognize and acknowledge his holiness, it's like, okay, Lord, what you want is what I want. And we already know what he wants. We talked about it last week. We already know what his vision is for the church. Go and make disciples that all would know that God is God and that Jesus is the Christ. That's his will. That's his vision for the church. So as a body of believers, as part of the kingdom of God, as part of the body of Christ, as in this congregation, it should be all of our prayer that God would have his way with our church, with the mission of our church, with the work of our church, according to his will, that he would help us find opportunities to make disciples. So there's going to be some challenges this morning. Not because I think we're failing, but just because I want it to be on the front of your minds. I want it to be on the front of my mind every day. Every day. Not just Sunday morning. Not just Wednesday night. Not just when the storms happen. Every day, I want it to be on the front of our minds. We wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, help me today to be a witness to somebody. Help me today to do what Jesus died so that I might do. Help me today to be a part of what Oak Grove is doing in the community. Help me know how to do that. Help me see the opportunities. Give me the wisdom and the discernment to seek it out. And by the way, all these people are sick. Can you bless them? All these people are hurting. Can you bless them? All these missionaries are persecuted. Can you bless them? That's when we go through the prayer list. After we talk to God about what He's assigned for us to do. I think that's more powerful. I think it's a way better approach to God than to come to Him and say, hey, God, I got this thing I want you to take care of for my life. I got this thing that I don't like and I want you to change it for my life. If He's God and there will be no other gods before Him, then we must talk about His will first. We must. And let's not speed past the whole situation of sin, right? Because you can't just say, Lord God, your holiness, your reverence, you're greater than me, you're God, you're the King of the universe, your will be done, help me make disciples, and never address whatever God's wanting you to repent of in that morning, or that night, or that day. If there's a problem in your life, if there's sin in your life, and you refuse to repent, it interferes with your communication with God. Not because He doesn't love you, not because He doesn't forgive, it's because we don't acknowledge it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses. It's in there, isn't it? So it's got to be dealt with, doesn't it? It's all got to be there. Let's go into chapter 7 here. These are going to be out of order now because I'm changing my mind. Let's go into chapter 7. In verse 7, Jesus is teaching, and He says these words, starting in verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then He begins to explain in the next verses. In verse 9 He says, Or what man is there among you whom when his son asks for a loaf will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake. Will he? If verse 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus, there's so many things that this truth can apply to in our life as believers, in our life as human beings. Jesus was all about the mission. He was all about bringing reconciliation between the sinner and God. That was His mission. He came to make things right. He came to complete the law. The consequences of sin is death. That's the law. So He died, innocent of sin, and died. Blood shed, holy blood shed, perfect sacrifice, acceptable sacrifice. So now we have an open door covered in the blood of Christ. We have an open door to the Father once again. For what? So that I can have what I want, or so that God can have what He wants, you see. And it comes back to the word that we continue to come back to every time we study together, surrender. Am I surrendered to God as my God? Am I surrendered to Jesus as my Lord and my Savior? Am I surrendered to God's plan? Because if I want to be saved, I have to die to self. The sinner man has to die so that Jesus can live in me. And if I'm surrendered to him in that way, then my will should die with the sinner man, you see. That's what Paul was trying to teach to those in Rome, right? It's the transformation of your mind, he's saying. You're not the same as you were. We're not the way we used to be. That's repentance. So when we talk to God and we trust that he is a good God who hears our prayers, right? And our minds are being transformed from our will to his will as we grow spiritually and learn more and more about his word and learn more and more about our Savior, and the Spirit of God more and more has his way, our will continuously gets in line with his will, so that our motives are to ask in prayer, right, according to his will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here we are, believers, people who don't deserve salvation, yet we have it. Here we are, people who don't deserve to be in the presence of God and his holiness, but we have access anytime with boldness. That's a good praise the Lord moment right there. Right? I figure since we had a time change, it'd be an hour later while you're at lunch, you're going to praise the Lord for, you're going to say amen. You're like, oh yeah, I heard that. You guys are on a delay this morning. It's all right. When I see Jesus say these words, look at this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. That's a statement of fact. If you ask, it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. If you seek, I mean, it can't even be any more plainer than that. And then he says, knock and it will be opened. These are statements of facts. Now, no one can just read those words and then just walk up to God and ask for whatever they want to ask for. And that's going to be ring true, right? Because y'all see, I don't have no helicopter. You know, I bring it up all the time and nobody brings me a helicopter. I want one, but I'm not going to have one. Why? Because it's not in the Lord's plan for me right now. It's a silly illustration, but hey, I can hear it right now. I can hear God, you know, like I've come up and I say, hey, Lord, how about that helicopter? I can hear him just kind of giving me that God look, that Father look, and saying, what do you need a helicopter for? How are you going to make disciples with a helicopter? Right? That's just what goes on. Here's the thing, y'all. I know and you know that we here at Oak Grove, we really do want to make disciples. We really do want people to get saved. We really do want people to hear the gospel. We really do want people to get loved with the love of Christ. We all want that. Right? We all want people to come in here and fill up these seats so we can learn together, grow together, be saved, and make more disciples, and God would have his way, and he would be glorified, and we could all rejoice, and we'd be eating meetings all the time. It would just be glorious, wouldn't it? It's already great now. Just imagine if the Lord would add to our number regularly, as he did throughout the book of Acts, and we all know he can do it. What is it? Ask not. You have not because you ask not. You don't have it because you didn't ask. Now, I'm not saying y'all don't ask God to answer that prayer for us. I'm just saying maybe we're not persistently every day intentionally saying to God, Lord, I know you're going to do this. I know you want this to happen. I know it's your will for people to get saved. Will you show us the opportunities to make it happen here at Oak Grove? That's the challenge for all of us. Every single one of us, every morning, how can I help Oak Grove find one more person to be saved? Because I know it's your will, God. I know it's your will that we be the witness so people can have an opportunity to be saved. So how do we find the opportunities to help people know that, Lord? How do we love people? How do we get in front of people? You see. So we ask, and it'll be given. If we ask that question of God every morning without taking a day off, today, Lord, give me an opportunity to make that happen or be a part of making that happen. Give me an opportunity to move somebody else closer to you. Then you seek. Right? If I'm going to ask God for the opportunities, if I'm going to ask God to put things in front of me to do, if I'm going to ask God to help me be part of the witness, I got to spend the rest of the day looking for the answer to that, don't I? Looking for how God's going to answer that. We know He's going to answer it. He said, ask and you'll receive. You ask God for that, and then He's going to make it happen. How many times have you felt like you've missed an opportunity to witness to somebody? It's okay to admit it. It happens to all of us. You know, we get busy, or we're just not paying attention. Or maybe we're just having a bad day, right? Maybe it's because we've gotten off the path and there's some repentance need to be done. You can't make disciples when you're battling with sin, you know. Not really, not intentionally. But if I'm going to say to God every morning, how do I make disciples for you? How do I contribute to the witness of Oak Grove in this community that you've assigned me to be a part of that family? How do I do this? Give me an opportunity. Then I got to spend the rest of the day looking for that opportunity. Make me aware. Is this it? Is this the opportunity? I better love on this person just in case it is the opportunity. Even if I'm not certain. And then later on in the day, oh, I wonder if this is the opportunity. Let me love on this person. Let me speak some blessing into this person's life. Let me help this person. Let me encourage that person. You'll be surprised how many times in a day God will answer that prayer for you. And you'll just keep seeking the answers. And guess what it says? If you look for the opportunities, if you look for the answer to the prayer, you'll find it. It says, seek and you'll find. I learned that lesson the first time we came to North Carolina, Eastern North Carolina, I met a bunch of great people out there. And it was just amazing to me how cool these people were. And I kept telling them, I was like, y'all are just some amazing people. And this old man walked up to me and said, you'll usually find what you're looking for. You'll find what you're looking for. If you're looking for great people, you'll find them. If you're looking for ugly people, you'll find them. Well, if we're looking for people to make disciples out of, we'll find them. If we're looking for people to love so that they might know the love of Christ, we'll find them. You see. Never did Jesus say, go make disciples and good luck, you're on your own. He never said that. He said, go make disciples and I'll go with you everywhere you go. And if we're paying attention to the Spirit of God, we'll be in our life every day after we've talked to God, after we've asked God for the opportunities, the Spirit of God will be like, here's one right there. Here's another one right there. Don't miss that one. And you'll be overwhelmed with opportunities. Want to know how I know? Because there's a lot of sinners in the world, just like me and you. There's a lot of hurting people in the world, just like me and you. There's a lot of people who are just lost in life. They may not be bad people, they just don't know what's true. There's a lot of people caught up in the goings-on of the world. And their whole world is dark because there's no God there. And all it takes is for me and you to come in with a little bit of light on occasion when He presents the opportunity to say, you know what? It is bad, it is ugly, and it is hard. But God, but Jesus. Have a sandwich, whatever. Feed them so you can feed them, you see. And then finally it says knock and it'll be open. How does that apply to what we're talking about? I mean, we've asked God to give us opportunities. We've asked God to help us do what He's sent us to do, right? What we really want to do, right? Because people do what they really want to do and they don't do what they don't really want to do, generally. So if we really want the church to grow and people to get saved, then we really want to make disciples. So we have to ask God to open the doors. We have to ask God to show us the opportunities. And when we see the opportunity, y'all, it's our job to encounter people and to love them, to encourage them, speak blessings into their life, give them help if they need it, feed the naked and clothe the clothe the naked and feed the hungry. Right? That's our job. When you engage, when you make contact with other people, whether they're strangers or whether they're somebody in your family, it doesn't matter, you're knocking on the door of their heart. And God in His Spirit is going to ask them to open the door based on your witness, based on what the Spirit of God is doing through you in their life in that moment. And guess what it says? Guess what Jesus says? If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, it will be opened. Isn't that amazing? And if those things, if we can get ourselves in line with this, if we can get ourselves hooked up with the way Jesus is teaching us right here, you'll be amazed how many people come into this church. Because me and you interacted with them individually, but because the people we interacted with went out and interacted with them and said, there's this people over there and they know what's true. And they know God. And if you want to know God, you'll go ask them. You'll go talk to them. And y'all are going to get really uncomfortable at that point. You want to know why? Because you're going to be outnumbered. And you won't know most of the people in the room. And that's tough. But it's God's will, y'all. It's the will of God for this church and every other church across the planet. Right? Here's how important it is. Let me go back. This is why I said we're going out of order. Here's how important it is. If we look at the church, the church in the book of Acts, where it all started, when the Spirit of God came upon the believers and they started preaching the gospel by way of the Holy Spirit, God kept adding to their number regularly. They would get scattered and then He'd get more people to get saved, hear the gospel, get saved, and on and on and on. The reality about prayer is that in 28 chapters in the book of Acts, the process of prayer is mentioned 34 times. The reason the Lord responded to what they were doing is because they talked to Him about what they were doing. They prayed about what they were doing. You ever been in a situation where you didn't really feel like you knew what you were doing, but you couldn't get out of it and you just had to make it happen? That's the way it was since the hurricane started, remember? The hurricane happened and we're all up here at the church and stuff is happening. We didn't call for it, it just came. Churches from all over the world were bringing supplies here for us to give to other people, to love people, to supply their needs, to help the hurting. We were in it up into our eyeballs, and not one of us knew what we were doing. And it happened anyway, didn't it? Why? Because for I don't know how many years now since I've been around here, we have been asking God to help us get engaged with our community so that we could love them the way He wants us to love Him. Well, guess what? We're engaged. We're all in it now, y'all. We're helping provide needs and solving problems for people not just by ourselves. See, God sent the body of Christ here to help us and is still sending the body of Christ here to help us. Not only through prayers, but financially. And I'm saying human beings, bodies, people brought themselves here. From everywhere, Montana, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Eastern North Carolina, Florida, Texas, everywhere. Why? Because we asked and we received. And we seek and we find. You ever feel like saying to God, I didn't really mean that much. But you know, God doesn't do much. He doesn't do very many things small, does He? He doesn't just do a little bit. When you get in line with His will, He's full on. The floodgates open. And that's when it gets amazing. That's when you experience some things that you would never have dreamed of. And we cannot be one of those churches that think God is great everywhere else, but it would never happen here, because that is not the case. This Bible, this Word of God, the truth that's in it applies to every believer on the planet. If we would just strive to get in line with it. And we're a great church, y'all. We do a lot of things great. We have to constantly keep tweaking our relationship with God. Constantly keep getting closer and closer to being in line with His will for what He wants here, for what He wants us to do, for what we want to happen. Think about it. If we really want people to get saved, we really want people to know Jesus the way we know Jesus, if we know and understand that Jesus died for sinners, and if you don't accept Him as Lord and Savior, you will be separated from God for eternity. If that's what you really believe, then it should be urgent for us to go out into the community to make disciples. It should be more urgent than it was to deal with this hurricane. It's a storm that won't end until Jesus comes back. Right? And if we really have Jesus in our hearts and we really have the Spirit of God leading us and we're really working hard at surrendering to His will and leaving our will behind and we're really about making disciples, then we will be prepared to let God have this church and make it whatever He desires for it to be. For His glory. Right? And when we finally one day get to be with Him and we leave this world, whether Jesus comes back or it's time for us to go home, I wonder if we had the ability, I wonder if we would look back and see, man, that was a tough road to hoe, but we got the harvest. We got a little bit of that harvest in, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting to think that you and I, as believers, can be an amazing part of what God is doing? Not the biggest part, maybe even a little pepper speck, but it's important. Right? Because what the kingdom of God is all about is the most important thing, and it's the most amazing thing ever in existence. Here's what Moses was saying when they were traveling in the wilderness, and God was promising Moses that He would go with them wherever. If you follow Me, I'll be with you, and all that kind of stuff. You know how God talks. And here's what Moses said. Moses said to Him, "If Your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." He's basically saying, "Lord, I go wherever You lead. If You don't go with me, I'd rather be out here in the desert, dying of thirst, with a bunch of people that wish they were back in slavery." I mean, Moses had it bad, y'all. We were talking about negativity in our morning Bible study. You're talking about negative people. They got out there like right away. They were like, "Oh, it's hot. Why'd You bring us out here? I'd rather go back and be a slave. What's going on?" And Moses is like, "God told us to come out here." But Moses was like, wherever You want to lead us, God, we'll go with You. As long as You go, we'll go. But if You're not going, I'd rather just stay out here if that's where You're at. So Oak Grove, wherever God wants to go, let's just go. If He don't go, then let's not go. Right? It's not just for us, is it? All of this is for God to use so people can be saved. That's the goal. So if we're not going to pray about it, we might as well just forget it. If we're not going to ask God to help us make it happen, we might as well forget it. So my challenge is every day, all of us, every day in the morning, God, help us, help Oak Grove make disciples. Help us to see the opportunities and help us to take advantage of the opportunities. Pray for each other to do it. Pray for yourself. Pray for each other to do it. And if we do that and we depend on this word to be true, we will come in here and y'all will be fighting me for the microphone to praise God about what happened last week. Y'all be like, "I prayed that prayer and then Tuesday this happened. And this person over here," and you'll be in line to get people baptized. You ever wonder how that happens at different churches? It's because they're asking God. And their heart's desire is in line with His will. And they're not afraid to preach the gospel. And they're just loving folks, even if it hurts. I love you and the Lord loves you. If you don't know the Lord, now's the day. If you're not saved, I don't know what you're waiting for. If you're not saved, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you don't have access to the Father. Not except for repentance. The only thing he's going to respond to is, I need you, God. That's the only prayer that an unsaved person can really say to make a difference in their life. And once you say that prayer, then the door is wide open for everything else. The Bible says to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So that's what we teach. It's what Jesus did on the cross is what saves us. Our response is everything else. And we step into God's grace that way. And then we can live in this truth. Let's stand together and sing. And if you don't know the Lord, come down here and get saved if you like, and we'll help you. If not, then we'll just sing like we're saved.